check out our website at www.thefantasyamateurs.com.
On this edition of the Nasty Cast, we argue bitterly, then talk about Jameson Taillon, Albert Almora, Dirksen Profar, Johnny and David Peralta, Anthony Desclafani, the Astros bullpen, and play hit it, win it, or just, you know, kind of sit there and don't do anything.
What is this, a fantasy baseball podcast?
Yes!
That's all we talk about on this podcast is interesting things. Yeah. Jesse, go toss a potato.
Here lies Joe. He died wearing braces.
Be interesting when she has her heavy flow at times.
It's not Nick Nolte.
That damn dirty ape.
You're going to blow Arkansas?
The Hindenburger cheese.
We follow the golden rule.
I'm in a league with the Pope.
Could have been an accountant.
Replace the baseballs with hand grenades.
Thor, he's like Jesus, but for people from Norway.
Eating ain't cheating. Hello and welcome to episode 79 of the Nasty Cast, Fantasy Baseball Podcast, brought to you by thefantasyamateurs.com. I'm Nathan Dokken, you can find me on the Twitter at Nathan Dokken, and I'm joined today by the most annoying man in the world, Joe Osachi.
That's me. Hi, how you doing?
Fantastic, Joe. How are you?
Oh, never better.
Way onto Skype so that we can talk, do a podcast, despite avoiding us as much as possible.
You know, really, you're lucky I don't really feel all that well or that I haven't been drinking at all, because I was really, really annoyed with both of you and sick of you to an alarming degree earlier tonight. I was ready to kill both of you via text, so I just actually shut my phone off.
Well, the feeling is mutual.
Good, good.
Introduce Jesse before I murder you.
Okay. Somewhere out there is Jesse Jordan.
So... Hi. How you doing?
I really was about ready to kill both of you. You guys were mad at me about nothing and everything, and I think we should all break up.
How was it that we were mad about you about nothing?
Because I didn't anything.
We waited an hour for you at dinner, Joe.
I didn't even order my food. You never had
any intentions of coming.
For a whole hour, assuming you were going to come out to Buffalo Wild Wings and eat, dine with us.
You poor babies. You had to sit there and drink.
Yeah, then I also had to wait a whole, like, 4 days to reply whether we were going to...
You had been fast. That's good. I think you should fast. The only... What?
You going to let me finish my insult?
Yeah, go ahead.
I forget what it was now. I hope you, I don't know, stick your finger in a toaster.
Well, that would be, I don't know why I would. It would almost have to be intentional if I was going to do that. But I never said I was coming. You guys must have just assumed I was coming. And you know what happens when you assume.
Well, when you say, oh, I'll be there at 6:30.
No, I never said that. That's just really what you said.
If you have no intention of coming, most normal people would say, I'm not going to be there. Go ahead and order whenever you get there.
I didn't assume that you would wait for me, because I don't assume, because that makes an ass out of you and me. I would never do something like that. All I said was, well, if you guys said you were getting there like 5:15, I'm like, well, I couldn't even possibly get there until 6:30, which if you could have heard my tone of voice, you would have known that that meant I'm probably not coming, because I can't even get there until 6:30, so why would I even bother?
Except that we can't hear your voice, Joe, because it was a text message.
What do you think, like, is your voice female? Is that why we're supposed to know? Like when another guy gets mad at me, whether he's yelling or not, I can't tell if he's mad or not.
What do you mean?
But I get when a female says their tone of voice, I can usually get, you know, like when my wife uses a certain tone, I can usually figure out that she's mad at me. So.
Well, then really, you should be able to tell. I don't know why. I think you're being sexist with this comment.
Well, I think you're sexist and respectfulness to women.
Well, that didn't make any sense at all.
That's the way it should be, because you don't make sense.
I mean, I never claimed to make sense, or really, I never claimed to do anything. I think we really should just move on. You guys are mad at me because of all kinds of different reasons, and I'm ruining your podcast, so let's just go on and do it and get it over with.
All right, we'll continue.
Okay.
We'll continue to ruin the podcast because Joe isn't going anywhere. What's your least favorite part about having Joe on the podcast? Email us, thefantasyamateurs@gmail.com, or you could tweet us, @fantasyamateurs. You can buy a Joe Sucks t-shirt at thefantasyamateurs.com. We're making those right now. They're in production. They have his big bald-ass head with a big, like, stamp, the circle, the big red circle with the line through it with over his bald-ass head.
I would absolutely buy one of those.
We're definitely going to make one of those now.
I hope so.
You could also check out, in case you missed the memorandum last week, we're now on Google Play, so you can download us there if, for whatever reason, that's where you listen to podcasts at nowadays. And one quick note that I wanted to get out there before we hop into the news is our friend... our online friend, and well, maybe not all of us, since Joe's not on Facebook, but the ambassador of the Prospect 361 Facebook group, Alan Sarvinus, he had himself an accident, and he's having some problems with his vision, and it sounds pretty serious. So we just wanted to put out our positive vibes towards him, and wish him a speedy recovery. So with that said, hop on to the news.
The one constant through all the years, Ray, has been baseball.
All right, happy not Trey Turner day, week, / rest of season, / maybe ever. Just a week ago, we were talking about Trey Turner Day, and turns out he was only up because Ryan Zimmerman, unbeknownst to us at the time, was taking off on paternity leave. I think it was paternity. Yeah, it was paternity leave. And he's already back down. So, Joe, what do you have to say in respect to Trey Turner's outlook for fantasy for the rest of the season and or the Nationals roster?
I think he's going to get a bat 1,000 this year.
Oh, that's while well, he's there. That's pretty good, now.
Right?
1,000 OBP as well. Because he walks.
Exactly. So he's going to have one of the great seasons of all time. Well, there you go. So, yeah, great season from him. Never got out once. No. But I guess, I don't know, you almost feel stupid after that when something like that happens and you get all excited. But really, you know, I think the only thing we said is that he wasn't getting – we weren't sure how good he was going to be, but just the fact that he could steal a bunch of bases might be valuable. But, yeah, it looks like he's not going anywhere unless there's an injury. So if you're playing in a minor league, enjoy him.
Yeah. Yeah, you got Danny Espinosa hitting, I think, 183 at this point. Oh, but God forbid they have somebody who could hit 100 points higher than that and steal a bunch of bases. A little defense, you know. God forbid that an extra bleeder dribbles through the infield once a week.
Well, is Trey Turner even supposed to be a bad defender anyway? I mean, I've never heard that about him, so.
That was the whole knock on why he was down, was the defense gap between Espinosa and
well, Turner. It better be a pretty damn big gap then, and I don't, you know.
That's the thing, I can't imagine that it's that different to have that much of an offensive gap, you know. So
That's what I'm saying. I mean, dude, there's no way that he's that bad a defender. I'm sure he's at least passable, but whatever. And I don't really think Danny Espinosa is like Ozzie Smith or Andrelton Simmons out there anyway. You know, he's whatever. However good he is, it almost doesn't matter. But it doesn't matter either what really, you know, who's better or worse or what anyone thinks other than what the manager thinks.
Yeah, and that manager is Krusty Dusty Baker.
Exactly.
It was the scourge of our existence in fantasy. He likes his veterans, so I don't know. Do you think we see Turner again at some point this season?
Well, for sure in September.
Great.
Well, I mean, at this point, that's the only thing you can count on. How about that? I mean, maybe you do, but I don't know. I mean, if you got a deep bench and you want to stash him, I don't give a shit. Go ahead, but I wouldn't be counting.
Yeah.
No, I mean, it's I think really in shallow leagues, you can just cut bait. 10, 12 team leagues. What's the point of holding on to him at this point? Because you don't know when he's going to come back. The whole thought process that we had last week was, okay, they're waiting until Super 2 to call
him. Yeah.
Now he's and it turns out it just was complete circumstance with the paternity leave of Ryan Zimmerman. So
yeah, and I don't understand it because if you have a guy that's that, you know, that high of a prospect, why would you bring him up just for a day or two? Like, what's the point of that? You know, like, why don't you bring up like a career minor leaguer, or, you know, like a quad A type of player? I don't really understand why you do that. With
no idea. Especially, yeah, like you said, I mean, they literally played him one game. He was 3-for-3 in a walk, and they benched him for the other two or three games that he was up.
Yeah, and then now he's gone. So I don't understand.
You guys apparently never played the game just to tip. Because that's what they did.
I play that in the bedroom all the time.
They gave Trey Turner just the tip.
Can you explain how that game works?
You take very little bit of whatever you want, whether it's your finger or your penis, and you slide it in just the tip.
Yeah, okay. We'll just stop talking now.
Or do you want it to go in relation to baseball? Where it's like, okay, we got this guy that he's obviously going to be a stud, but how about we'll just give him the tip and see where he's at, and we'll go from there. And we'll, you know, granted, he took it very well. That doesn't mean he wants it. It's not assumed consent.
Oh, I see. Yes, so, I do like that you're comparing baseball to sex. That is very, very good comparison. But
yeah.
Well, you asked. So, I was just saying, just the tip. But
if you're gonna sort of gauge your batting average on actual sexual encounters versus attempted sexual encounters, what do you think your batting average is, Jesse?
0.016. My on base percentage or my sacrifices, you know.
Sacrifice. Like,
a lot of sacrifices. They really,
I played a lot of wingman in my day, you know.
Oh, that's good.
I bunted the teammates to second base. So I even threw a sacrifice bunt down a couple times, you know, from, you know, the suicide squeeze worked a few times back in college.
I mean, there should definitely be a sexual maneuver called the suicide squeeze.
I'm sure there is.
Well, it involves a wingman.
And a chicken wing.
And somebody dies.
Absolutely.
That it was suicide.
Yes. Well, there's got to be a chance of suicide. Like, accidental. Sort of like the autoerotic asphyxiation. That's a hard word.
It really is.
It's not a good word to say after being at meetups.
No, we've had a...
You're saying there has to be a chance of...
Of death. Of accidental suicide.
Accidental suicide.
Is that a thing?
I think that's called an suicide. Accident.
Like if you're... I think that's called... You know, you realize there's a chance of you killing yourself, but you do something anyway.
Like when you drive and you have a rollover?
Well, not just if you're driving. Like, if you're driving...
Drinking and driving over, and you have a rollover?
You're driving over a ramp over the Grand Canyon... Expecting to land on the other side because you've been driving 300 miles an hour in an RV from New York.
I still think that's labeled as an accident.
Not accidental suicide?
No.
Okay. Hey, it's Jameson Tyon Day tomorrow, when this is possibly going to come out. Depending on when this is coming out and when you're listening to it, it may or may not be Jameson Tyon Day. Hey, Joe, what do you think about Jameson Tyon for the rest of the season?
Hey, Nate. How are you doing?
I'm just peachy.
Yeah, well, I was lucky enough, or whatever you want to call it, enough about 2 weeks ago, I picked him up in the podcast league. Because I think, definitely preseason, nobody was thinking that he was going to be the first of the Pirates prospects to get called up. most people were thinking it was going to be Glasnow. Now, you know, it's gone the other way. I'm in the minors this year. You know, he hadn't pitched since 2013, so I mean, I can understand why he was kind of off the radar. But you know, he's striking out about a batter per inning in 61 innings. He's not walking anybody. He's been spectacular. So I mean, there's no reason not to be excited. He was a top draft pick. What was he, number two overall back in the day when he was drafted way back when?
Yep.
Who is he sandwiched in between, like Machado and Ken Griffey Jr. or something like that?
Might be off on the last one, but something like
that. Yeah, something like that, though. So, I mean, he's got all the potential in the world. He just had the surgeries that derailed him there for a little bit. So, we've always loved Pirates pitching prospects, or not prospects, just Pirates pitchers in general. And so, now we get a chance to see a guy that actually has some talent as opposed to the... I'm trying to think of, you know, Jonathan Neeses of the world or Edison.
Jeff Locke.
Jeff Locke, sure. So now you got a guy that's actually got some stuff and you can see what they can do with him. So, yeah, I'm excited. He's definitely worth an ad in all leagues. I checked earlier, he's already owned in about 50% of Yahoo leagues, which are typically shallow. So everybody's pretty much buying in right off the bat.
Right, yeah. If you didn't have him stashed in most deep leagues, you've already missed the boat. Although I do think he's worth a speculative ad in even very shallow leagues, like you said, about a strikeout per inning under a walk per nine is what I was thinking.
Yeah.
Didn't you just say? So his control is definitely – it's actually good or better than it's ever been this year. The thing that's going to limit his fantasy relevance is an innings limit and assumedly a pitch count throughout his starts. He's a guy, like you said, coming off the surgery. He hasn't pitched since 2013, so he's going to be very limited in his innings this year. I'd be surprised if he pitches more than, oh man, I don't know, I think 40 major league innings. He's already got 61 and two-thirds in the minors.
Yes, and I mean, you know, like you said, he hasn't pitched since 2013. He had 140 some innings that year, but you know that really doesn't matter anymore. It's been so long. So yeah, maybe they let him go 110, 120 at the most this year. So they'll shut him down at some point.
Yeah, but in the meanwhile, I think he can be an effective starter. So
yeah, I mean, even if it's just some six inning starts, I mean. If he's got great ratios and good strikeouts, it'll all be worth it for a little bit. Anyway, I mean, you're looking for lightning in a bottle, even in a 10-team league. There's nothing wrong with it. Pick him up if he's dominant for a while and he's not good anymore, then just drop him. Who cares?
Yeah, exactly. So so what about Glasnow? Do you think that we also see him at some point this season?
Probably at some point, but I mean, I don't know that they're going to have them both in the rotation right off the bat this season. But I mean, maybe like you said, if there's an innings limit, maybe if Tyon, they could shut him down and bring Glasnow up. Who knows? I think at some point this season he'll come up, but I wouldn't be thinking it's going to be anytime soon.
Yeah, he's as opposed to Tyon, who's getting the call now due to his, well, you know, he's a little bit older than Glasnow, but he's also got a much better walk rate. Glasnow still walking 4.21 batters per nine innings, and really a lack of a third pitch. His changeup just isn't there as far as the Pirates are concerned, so that's holding him back, and it's actually led to some debate as to whether he'll even be a starter when he gets called up this year. They might bring him up to work him out of the bullpen, which he would be a terrific bullpen arm. You know, a ton of Ks, assumedly a long reliever since he's stretched out, but not necessarily sure. Well, he wouldn't be fantasy relevant really anywhere if he's a bullpen guy. I mean, like a Michael Feliz, if you can roster him in leagues that he would benefit you, that'd be the kind of thing you're looking at for Tyon. Or not Tyon,
you mean
Glasnow. Yeah.
You can roster anybody in any league, I guess, because, you know, there's you know, ratios and strikeouts. I mean, you know, if you're just like in a roto league, you have a guy that only pitches once, you know, if they're striking out a batter per inning, it's still nice to have, you know, but it's not going to make as big of an impact as he would as a starter. So I'm probably not stashing him at this point, but
yeah.
But I guess I can't argue with you if you want to. He still does have a lot of upside. Yeah, I think I would. He'd be one of my, you know, better stashes, I think. But, you know, I think you have to temper your expectations a little bit as well. So, on a lesser note, Edwin Diaz has been called up by the Mariners, former starting pitching prospect. Good one at that. He's actually been called up as a reliever. He switched to the relief role as you send me another goddamn monocle emoji.
Yeah, I love those guys.
Thank you for that. It wouldn't be a Skype podcast without you emojiing me.
They're really funny, especially the mustache monocle guy.
Of course. So in and he started off starting this season. He switched to relief role at Double A this year. They skipped him from Triple A. 40 2/3 innings, 11.95 K per nine, 1.55 walks per nine, 2.21 ERA. So pretty elite numbers there. So basically, since he's in a bullpen role right now. And we're not sure. It seems pretty unlikely that they're going to stretch him out for the major league rotation at this point. So where do you put him in line for saves in that Mariners bullpen? Cichek has been good.
Yeah, so at, not ahead of him. So I mean, I don't know. I mean, you can't. Like, I don't think that there's been anyone else that's really knocking on the door for saves in Seattle, but I wouldn't think he's going to come up and just immediately be the closer. There was a who was the guy in, at the beginning of the season that was striking a lot of people out of the Mariners bullpen? I owned him for a while. Yeah, Zich. So
Zich, I think, is actually what it's supposed to be.
Well, that's a really. I mean, either way, Zich or Zich, but that's the name. But Tony, me some, but you know, he definitely had the strikeouts. He's still, but yeah, he hasn't even pitching lately, but I mean, pretty much every time he pitches, he seems to strike out the side. He's got 19, so he's just not really appeared that much. But he was a guy.
He's, he's been on the DL for a while now.
I think
so.
He's,
that's why. Oh, he's not back because I own him in the league. He's still very much on the DL.
Okay, but I was, you know, so it, that was the only other guy that I really had any interest in their bullpen, I guess. So.
Now, the other guy coming into the season was Joaquin Benoit, who I was handcuffing Cishek to all over the place because I figured Cishek was one of the more likely candidates to, you know, suck and lose his closer role early on in the season. And it turned out it was Benoit whose age finally caught up to him, and he started walking everybody and just kind of – he didn't really necessarily get blown up, but he he was pretty lucky. His peripherals are pretty bad. And he was on. He spent quite a bit of time on the disabled list himself. He's back now, but
I mean, so if you're, I guess you know, I don't have any real concerns right now about Cishek. I mean, he had a terrible year in 2015, but the year before that, he was pretty much great. You know, the year before that, he had 39 saves and only one saves, and he was striking everybody out. He sucked in 2015. His WHIP was almost 1.5. But now it's 0.9, and he seems to have, you know, righted the ship. And relievers are weird like that. They have whole seasons where they suck, and then they can come back and be dominant, and then they'll suck again. You know, I mean, I don't know who can predict. Fernando Rodney still hasn't blown a save or given up a run. I don't even.
He hasn't even given up a run, yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, when a guy is rolling like that, you know, sometimes sometimes they just have an entire great season and then an entire season of shit. I can't explain relievers.
Yeah, no, neither can they. Yeah, they're as volatile as they come. I remember old Neil Ramirez, you know, he looked like he was going to be a lockdown reliever for a certain point there, and now he's been DFA'd like twice, and he's with the Brewers now just blowing, not even leads, you know, he's just giving up runs left and right. So that's the name of the game. Yeah, I wouldn't really roster Edwin Diaz in anything. I don't know. I wouldn't really expect
in anything. You could just end your sentence there in anything. Yeah,
I wouldn't roster him in anything, despite looking at some pretty good ratios moving forward.
Well, if
he's a name to keep on your radar, I think, for dynasty leagues for long term saves.
Fair enough. If we just since I mentioned Fernando Rodney, I mean, he, like I said, he still hasn't given up a run, so there's no real reason to be looking at who the next guy in line there is. But I haven't heard too many people talk about good old Ryan Buchter. I think that's how you say it. But anyway, he's got
2.08 ERA, .96 WHIP. He struck out 37 in 26 innings, and he's been like named by the manager the eighth inning guy out there in San Diego. So he is next in line to take over for Rodney. So that's a guy that I'm stashing and owning in a couple leagues.
There you go.
I haven't heard much talk about him.
I literally, no, nothing. I agree. Okay. So, yeah, that's a good name to mention for sure. Buchter.
Yeah, first I thought it was like, I don't know. I didn't think it was Buchter because when I looked at it, I just read it. I think I read it away, thought his name was Ryan Butcher because it's just the, you know, the different placement of that T. It could be Butcher if it was at the beginning. But anyway, Ryan Buchter, okay? I just picked him up in our Dynasty League because he was striking out a lot of batters and the Padres bullpen. I'm like, oh, what the hell, you know? And now he is the eighth inning guy who's actually been anointed to that prestigious role by the manager.
Yeah, I should look up Quackenbush. I just saw the other day he was either sent to the DL or demoted. I can't remember which one, but he's out of the picture for now. So, in any case, Jorge Soler moving on to Chicago has hit the DL with a hammy strain, and the Cubs are set to call up Albert Almora, longtime top prospect, known more for his defensive abilities than his offensive abilities. This season in AAA, has 3 bombs, 10 steals, and a .318 batting average. So, Joe, what type of leagues would you be looking at adding Albert Almora in?
Probably NL only because I don't think he's going to get to play every day. It's apparently Madden said that he's going to be used against lefties primarily. So, I mean, there's just so many hitters out there in Chicago. It's hard to get full-time playing time unless you're one of their elite stars out there. You know, Javier Baez is up, and he doesn't really have his own position. He kind of floats around, and Elmore will kind of do some of the same, I think. So, and he also doesn't walk, which I don't like. He only walked 3% this season in the minors. So, you know, not a player type of player that I would love anyway. Doesn't really have an elite skill. He's just kind of a solid all-around player.
Yeah, I agree. I have no interest in mixed leagues. Just no playing time. Not a lot of offensive pop. You know, he'll maybe get you the odd steal. But, just not a lot of firepower going on there. So he's pretty much a safe pass. On the other hand, Jerkson Profar, moving on to Texas, has been great. So what do you see for his outlook moving forward this season?
I mean, apparently this, I've been hearing a lot of not so great things about Prince Fielder. How has Prince Fielder been doing this year so far, Jesse? See if he's still awake.
that's...
Can you give me an update on his stat line?
He might as well be dead.
Oh man, I kind of agree.
That's a mean thing to say, you know, because he is a prince and everything, but. Give me 1 second. I actually have my thing up here, so you guys can wait on me for a second. What kind of stat line are you looking for?
Oh, we don't want to know about your thing being up. Good lord.
No, like, I meant like I actually have my roster up here because I'm analyzing my score. He's got a whopping 261 OBP on top of his 193 nice. Batting average, 3 home runs with a modest 29 RBIs. The RBIs aren't that bad, but they're not what you expect. 54 games, 202 at-bats, 14 runs, 39 hits.
He's killing it out there. So, I mean, thank you for the update on that. I know you're none too fond of his performance this year, and you can see why, and anybody that owns him would know. So,
well, it kind of takes me into fantasy baseball gripe if you want me to rant for a second.
Go right ahead.
Well, I play in a dynasty league that does weekly transactions, and I know a lot of people out there don't like daily transactions for time, but I really need a lot of help at first base and corner infield. And yeah, I could have had all season to probably help this, but I finally got to the point where I want to give up on either Prince or Mitch the Bitch. And I go out and I throw a lot of money on some, I don't even remember the guy's name, it's a dude for Seattle, Jung Hong Lee or something.
Sure,
and, of course, I get outbid by a couple bucks, and now I have to wait a whole freaking week. What is this?
Day
madness?
Holy, by the way.
I knew there was a Lee out there somewhere. Yeah, it was kind of a dude.
Which is, that's the guy that I want to replace Prince Fielder right now, because Prince Fielder is terrible. I'd like to bat left-handed and outperform him. Rather, I know he's a lefty, but he's just been depressing.
No, I
spent some money on him last year.
Yeah. This
was
an
auction draft, for those of you that are wondering.
Yeah,
but
sorry, I guess I should probably throw that out. I was a Dynasty Startup draft of last year, and I dropped some money on him that I know was against your guys' suggestion, I think. You guys didn't hate the fact that I went after him, but not as much as you hated some of the other picks I made, which turned out to be all right, too. So.
Well, I mean, you're the king of the Adam Duvall hype train, so I mean, you've made some good decisions. So.
Yes, and I checked, you know, don't forget that I drafted him last year, and I traded him about this time last year. Maybe another two more weeks of the season, then I traded him and turned around and got, I can't remember if I got Reddick or Gordon, but I think I got Josh Reddick for that trade.
And I think you got like a pitcher or something too. I still am pretty sure that it's Grichuk, and you do always say Grichuk. Either way, it really doesn't matter.
Well, it's the North Dakota way to say it.
You're right, yeah. I mean, we're actually Canadian, I think, on this show, yes. Near as anybody else can tell out there
although,
in podcast land.
Although we don't spell offense or defense with a C, whereas Canadians
do. They do that?
Do, yes.
Yeah, they do that sometimes. It's really weird.
Yes.
They but also it's apparently actually say Zed instead of Z, which is weird
both,
to me.
That's
both
even
things
weirder.
Are actually acceptable as far as the grammar police would go. Defense and offense with an
Nate.
S and a C. Well, it doesn't. If Nate has a gripe about it, it really doesn't matter because they're both acceptable. But anyways, you guys should go back into the show and stop having me interject.
So I think we've said all we needed to say about Jerks and Profar.
Yeah, really in-depth discussion about him. He actually played first base tonight. So
well, that was kind of where I was going with all that. I mean, with Prince Fielder is bad, Mitch Moreland is bad. You know, there's some guys that they could. There's some guys. You know, he could play some DH. He could play some Sagan. He could play, you know, spell everybody. Kind of be super utility guy and play a little bit everywhere. Yeah. With how good he's been and how talented he is, they probably got to keep him up, and he probably should have a role. I don't know if it's going to be every day. Maybe he plays 5 days a week. I mean, you know, he'll be fantasy relevant, I think. He was a guy that I thought, you know, not this year, but I think in 2015, I thought he might maybe have some sleeper appeal or whatever, and then he didn't play the entire year. So I think it was a year too late or year too early.
I mean, people have been waiting on Profar for years, and it's just been a series of injuries.
Well, yeah, I mean, and so you also shouldn't forget how talented he is. And, you know, even though a lot of his prospect pedigree was due to his defense, he still is a really good baseball player. He's not going to hit like 30 home runs, but he's got a little bit of power and he can steal some base. He can do some good things. And with his speed, he should have a good batting average. Although, you know, it's crazy high right now. He's not going to hit 370, but, you know, he's a good player. And I think he could have a utility role, and the best thing about that is that he'll potentially be eligible everywhere, which would be good to have.
Right, yeah. Yeah, I agree. He should be rostered in most formats, I'd say, outside of the really, really shallow leagues, because he's not guaranteed every day at bats by any means. But yeah, as long as he's hitting, and I mean, he's, like you said, always been a plus defender, so he could even be a defensive sub, get some extra bats that way. But
well, and I think, you know, whatever, 2-3 years ago or when he was the number one prospect, he kind of thought, well, he needs to just play shortstop every day or play second, you know. But now, you know, some of that shine's wore off, and he's been in the minors so long, you know. I mean, he's already 23. You know, he's kind of proven everything he needs to prove down there. So he's got to be up in the big leagues one way or another at this point, I think. So if he can fill that utility role and help the team that way, I think, you know, why not? Why wouldn't the Rangers do that?
Yeah, absolutely. It's not going to be Delino DeShields apparently anytime soon. So.
Well, it's certainly not, no.
The Padres have traded James Shields in some breaking news into the Nasty Cast that happened a couple days ago. He was traded to the White Sox for Eric Johnson and Fernando Tatis Jr. So, Joe, does this affect your fantasy outlook for James Shields at all?
I don't like him, but yeah. I mean, we can talk about, okay, because we should talk about both sides of this deal. But the first sign of it being James Shields, I was out on James Shields this year. I don't think you were. I think you kind of were a little bit, or, you know, you, I think maybe, did, what was your thoughts
on it? I'd say I was slightly pro Shields.
Yeah, I was anti Shields, I guess. Because I felt like last year he kind of, basically, he didn't have, you know, any, you know, he couldn't throw the fastball anymore. I mean, he went from being a guy that didn't walk anybody and was kind of an innings eater to just now all of a sudden he's going to, you know, his whip ballooned and he was striking people out, but the ERA ballooned and the whip went up. And, you know, I kind of felt like that was going to continue. And, you know, his ERA this year is 4.2 and his whip is, that's whatever, but his whip is 1.43 and that's just unusable. So I didn't like the way he was trending, I guess, and the move to Chicago only makes it worse in my book. Because, you know, Petco is not what it used to be, I feel like. No. You know, I don't think it's as good as it used to be for pitchers, so it's not like being there was going to just save him. I, you know, it probably, but the Cell is definitely a bad place to pitch, so I don't think the move helps him. I don't know how you feel.
Yeah, the only way it could possibly help his fantasy value is if he manages to get a few more wins on a much better team.
Yeah, and I just don't care.
No, they're fluky to begin with, so I don't really either. Yeah. So really, it's I do own Shields in one league. I think the podcast league, actually.
Yeah, I think you did.
Yeah, and what did he cost me? $5-6 or something like that.
Yeah, something like that. I think we talked about it on the podcast that
was released.
Never was released. I don't know what we did with that. We were really drunk. So
that was not Jesse's fault.
No, it wasn't.
I do need to interject there because I've asked for it multiple times, and now I'm never going to do anything with it.
I think we could still release it as like just a podcast leak special.
We'll put that on the platter. Out there, we'll throw it down in the archives, and we'll label it like right next to Drunk Times with Nate. And we did a 3-minute segment after the Drunky Task where we let Nate talk, and I recorded it, and I still have it archived. So you send it to me, I'll archive it, and someday when we have a greatest hit, we'll throw it in there as a bonus episode.
We're still waiting for that greatest hit. It's been 3 years.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we'll need, like, it'll be a single, and then we'll include some bonus tracks on the backside.
So we need to record our own version of Mbop.
Mbop. I don't know. They had another hit, I thought.
No, I don't think so.
They did release an album.
Good for Hanson. Most bands do, yeah.
Well, did you say good for
Hanson? It's not like they just stop. They just make something that's not good.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like most one-hit wonders, they make one song literally, and they're like, well, that's it for me.
With the Hansons, it wasn't that they hit puberty. It was that they realized that they wanted to pee in the other bathroom.
Is that some kind of transgender joke?
That was a transgender joke. It probably didn't transgend very well.
You're getting
no,
very
I don't
topical.
Think it did.
It was, yeah, I'm all about the topical jokes. Anyway,
people love those.
Hey, it's still sure. Way more respectable for the women out there than your text earlier tonight, which I'm going to get into early because that's the bullshit segment of the night is how Joe
just reading my texts. Women.
Yeah, one text, just one text. So
okay,
moving on.
That'll be riveting. Yeah, the Shields, he's not looking so good. It's kind of looking like his workload has finally caught up to him at age 34. Strikeouts are way down. Walks are all-time high. Yeah, first pitch strike rate, all-time low. Swing strike rate just dropping. So really nothing to glean from this performance so far in the year. He's a back-end starter.
Yeah, he's like a fifth, if he's your number five guy or whatever. And, you know, I don't even think, like, in a 10-team league, I just don't think he's worth it anymore. I think there's better guys out there. So, you know, I just wouldn't even take him. You know,
I will say that, I mean, in points leagues, he's still going to rack up the innings, and that has a value in itself. So in points leagues, I always hang on to him.
This just seems to me like watching him and looking at his numbers, like he just doesn't, like before, you know, he would kind of go after hitters and, you know, it seems like to me now he doesn't trust his stuff and he's kind of nibbling and just, you know, and I don't think he trusts his stuff because it's just not that good anymore, you know, or not as good as it used to be. So he's just not the same pitcher that he was 3 or 4 years ago when he was able to get you 220 innings. And then because he was going 220 innings, he was getting 200 strikeouts and, you know, he needed the volume to get, you know, kind of like Adam Wainwright, and then when the stuff goes away, then the value goes away. So that's what I think of him. So I'm not excited about it at all. I did hear somebody talk about it and say, like, well, maybe, you know, this San Diego team was so bad and blah blah blah. No, the White Sox are winning and now it's going to change. I don't know. I mean, he still was getting paid out there. I'm pretty sure they were still paying him $80 million or whatever the hell they're paying him. So if he's like, oh, you know, we suck, I'm not even going to try. Well, I really hope that professional athletes don't do that. I mean, maybe they do, but I would hope he was still trying. So I don't think that just being on a better team is going to turn him into a better pitcher.
I think that there's plenty of athletes out there that don't try once they get paid the big money. Although the ones that come to mind first and foremost play for the NFL. So let's move. Let's get into some more positive news. We got some people coming back from the DL.
Oh, I was going to say Eric Johnson on the other side of it is interesting. Apparently you don't care about him.
I'm over the Eric Johnson myself. Are you not?
Okay, I mean, well, I would if I like in our dynasty league, for instance, I might add him there. They're sending him to the minors in San Diego, so in minor league stash. I mean, he had that resurgence in 2015 in AAA where the strikeouts were up, and then this year they've been down again. I mean, anytime he's come up in Chicago, he's gotten just obliterated. But so would the move to San Diego help him and make him relevant? I don't know. It's possible, I guess. I might be willing to take a look at him with the ballpark change, just because I don't think that he was a good fit for Chicago and for that ballpark. He gives up too many homers. He's kind of, you know, too fly ball-y. Yeah. So maybe this move will help him out a little bit. But he's never going to be an ace or anything like that. But he definitely was a hype prospect. I mean, he was a top 50 prospect, I think, according to Keith Law at one point. So.
Right, yeah. And then he sort of fell on hard times after that.
Eric probably was a better Viking, though, you know, judging by his name.
Eric Johnson? I don't recall him.
It's Eric with a K.
It is. It's very epic.
Which is a very Norwegian. But
he's not as big time as Leif Erikson.
No, but Leif wasn't so much of a natural-born later Viking, like.
Yeah, if there's one name that I never thought would come up on this program, it's Leif Erikson.
Well, you're welcome.
But it did.
So let's,
it did, yep. Thanks for that.
Let's somehow tie that into... I don't even know what that guy's name is.
Johnny Peralta?
Yeah. Johnny
Peralta. Old Johnny. Yeah, he's back from the DL. Batting fifth.
Is that a typo?
No, it's
no,
not.
That's how he spells it.
Oh my god, I need to go back on mute. These baseball players and their spellings.
Yeah, he's from other parts. I mean, Leif Erikson. Leif, what a name. L-E-I-F.
Yeah, that's just as weird a spelling and hard to say as Johnny Peralta.
Leif was actually Leif, L-E-I-F.
Yeah, Leif Erikson.
But whatever. We'll go back to Johnny.
Old Jahani is back from the DL, batting fifth tonight and playing third base. Old Colton Wong, the Wong stock, is going to be sipping on his own stock down in AAA now. They're going to keep Aledmys Diaz at short, switch Matt Carpenter over to second base, and play Peralta at third base. So, Joe, what do you think about that whole configuration, and what is Johnny Peralta's outlook for this season?
Well, it sounds great to me. I think that's. I think they made all the right moves. So, congratulations, Cardinals. They'll probably win the World Series. But, you know, he's just the shortstop that you get for power late or whatever. And you know, he probably is dropped in most leagues, other than like only leagues in super deep ones. So, you know, he keeps doing it. He keeps hitting 15 to 20 home runs every year for the past 5 years, it seems. So, I'm sure he'll do something similar to that again. You know, if you would prorate the stats or whatever. So I don't have any problem with him for the rest of the season. You know, even if he plays third base every day for the rest of the season, it doesn't hurt you at all because he's already got shortstop eligibility.
Yeah, it doesn't matter for this season anyway. Yeah, you're hoping that he can get you maybe 8 to 10 bombs for the for the duration of the season. Hopefully he hits. Oh boy, I don't know. Maybe cleanup would be ideal, but he might be looking at hitting out of the fifth spot. Realistically,
well, there's nothing wrong with that if he hits. I mean, for a guy that you're potentially getting off the waiver wire or whatever, that's it, you know, to hit fifth for the Cardinals is pretty good. That you, and a guy that you can play at short. So, I mean, to me, it's more of a public service announcement than anything. I mean, I don't know how much analysis is needed. People know what Johnny Peralta is.
Yeah, I think more of the analysis part lies in, I don't know, maybe Colton Wong. Do you see him coming back at any point? Aledmys Diaz is really cooled off in May, so after his torrid April. So do you think Wong will eventually reclaim a starting spot this season?
If I were to say who I like better, Diaz or Wong, I think I never bought into the Diaz. I mean, I know you liked him because he's making a lot of hard contact and stuff like that. I don't buy it. Never did buy into him, and I did at one time really like Holden Wong. So maybe maybe it's one of those things where he goes back down to the minors. He realizes that he needs to fix some things, and he fixes them. And he comes back up and has a great second half. You know, I don't know, but there's definitely not going to be a better time to buy him than now in a dynasty league because you know he's right now looking like a total failure, and I don't know that that's 100% going to be the case. I really, really liked him about 2 years ago. He had a really good batting, a solid batting average. He was really efficient on the base pass. I thought that, you know, he could be a top of the order bat and really do some good things. And everything kind of went to hell after that. But there was also a Renato Odor season where he looked like absolute hot garbage, and then he went down to the minors and came back up and started raking. So that, it's possible that the same thing could happen with Wong.
I would say that Wong's outlook is just as rosy for fantasy purposes as Aledmys Diaz, just because Diaz really doesn't offer a ton in the way of power or speed. He's mostly like a batting average, get on base kind of guy. Whereas, I mean, Wong, he at least has multiple 20 steal seasons. I mean, going through the minors, but last two seasons, 20 and 15 steals.
Yeah.
So, I mean, at least you have that. So I wouldn't, if I'm in a dynasty league and I own him, I would still definitely hang on to him, and I wouldn't necessarily sell low. You know, I think that he'll find a place to play at some point, although I will say he never did figure out how to hit lefties. So he might be a platoon bat moving forward.
Well, you know, if you're the owner of him in your dynasty, you might just be ready to give up on him because, you know, like I traded him away earlier this season, and the guy actually that I traded him to, it was like a big part of the deal. He really wanted Colton Wong. So I got to assume he's pretty frustrated with him at this point. So, you know, you could maybe get him for a song, as Nathan Dawkin once said.
Yeah.
I know how to write a good song.
How's that? All right, do it right now. Just write us a hit song.
Oh, okay, I will put myself back on mute and write a good song. But I do have to interject with one question. Isn't there a guy named Greg Garcia who stepped in for when Matt Carpenter was out of the boy? I know, when he was out with his kid or whatever. And yeah. he played pretty well over that 4 or 5 game stretch. Is he involved in any of the Cardinal plans? And if he is, what do you... I'm asking as a serious... Like, here's a serious fantasy baseball question.
We don't need very many of them. Yeah, that's an impressive, serious fantasy baseball club. I'm shocked, to be perfectly frank. And I'm not going to worry about writing off Greg Garcia as basically a nobody. I'm not worried about him at all.
So he's basically a nobody?
As far as I'm concerned, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, he's...
Well, I'm just asking. He stepped in and he played very well over... I know it's a very short-term spell, but they haven't sent him back down yet. Do they even plan or do they release him? Is he?
Yeah, no, I think he's kind of one of those org guys that
he's just there.
You know, like we're Yeah, we were talking about earlier. What's, you know, in Washington, what's the point of calling up top prospect Trey Turner when you could just bring up whatever their version of Greg Garcia is to fill in for literally one game?
Yeah, you don't bring up Greg Garcia. You just keep Greg Garcia on the bench because he's not going to complain about not playing, but you know that he'll be all right. He ain't going to kill you if you play him.
Yeah, so whereas that's Colton he's Wong that is. Guy. Colton Wong is younger. He's got presumably more options. I haven't, looked into that. But.
Well, fair enough. That's what I'm asking. That's why I asked.
Well, the dude apparently, who I knew nothing about, is hitting .452 on the year. So I mean, whenever he has played, he's hit. So I mean,
in that 5-game span, he had 3 home runs and I think 4 or 5 RBIs, and I want to say like he was basically 2 hits. Yeah, he probably, you know, in 5 games, I think he had like 8 hits and 3 walks or some odd. Like it was unbelievable. I had my eye on him because I missed out on Matt Carpenter like 5 days. But thankfully, in my weekly league, I didn't pick him up because Carpenter was back, so it didn't matter.
Here's what I would say to the viewers out there: if I were you, I would go out and pick up Greg Garcia because whatever Jesse touches seems to turn to gold lately with the Adam Duvall's of the world.
Well, not just Adam Duvall. I just finally slotted in Grossman. Literally, and he hit a homer tonight, so let's throw that out there as well. So
it's all coming up, Jesse. Hey,
Robbie Grossman, I recommend it. This dude,
I know. It's all about my. It's only one league. It's if I touch him in any other league, they're shitty and they don't do a damn thing. But in my one league where I'm actually competing, it's the only fantasy baseball league I've ever competed in. Meaning like. I was in the top half. everything I've done is just—it's been
that's
good.
Competing.
So I'll keep chiming in with my picks for the year then, just because eventually I'm gonna run out. But
we will look forward to that. All right, moving on to our second Peralta of the night. David Peralta has also returned from the AL. He hit a home run in his first game back, going 2 for 3. So, Joe, do you have any sort of input as far as what the Diamondbacks playing time situation is going to look like there, or more specifically for David Peralta, Yasmani Tomas, anything like that?
Well, he didn't play tonight, so I don't know if that they're just easing him on back in, but
just the tip.
Just the tip, yeah. I just wanted to put just the tip in right away. I don't know. Yeah. You know, he didn't play today. Brandon Drury was out there in right. I mean, I think he's it should be an everyday player at some point, because when I just said Brandon Drury's playing, that tells you that, you know, there's not like an overabundance of talent. And I mean, Michael Bourne is in center field. I didn't even realize he still played it before.
Well, they just signed him. I think pretty much when Peralta went down. So I would assume that it's going to be Bourne going back to a bench role. Drury isn't that bad. I mean, he's at least he's got some long-term upside, I think.
His name is just so dumb, Brandon Drury.
This makes it sounds like dreary.
Yeah, it's depressing.
I hate that name.
Yeah, it's a bad name.
I think I saw a trade offer of him, and I rejected it right away just because...
Oh, I'm Brandon Drury.
I'm Drury.
Yeah, exactly.
It's more like,
I do
Drury. I'm a Drury.
I mean, you don't want a guy like that on your team. No. He's going to make everybody depressed with his British accent and his... I mean, I don't
know. Oh, it's so dreary outside. Signing off, I'm your weather reporter, Brandon Drury.
We might as well not play today. It's way too dreary.
Let's have some scones and drink some tea.
Yeah, so that's pretty much what I think about David Peralta.
Perfect.
All right.
Yeah, no, I mean, you got to love him just as much as you did coming into the season, at least for me. Like, he was playing center field beforehand. I think he'll go back to doing that now, and I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, Yasmani Tomas, he's been better than I had expected this year, but he's still pretty bad. His defense is pretty terrible, and despite what his strikeout percentage is now, which is cut fairly substantially from a season ago, he's still got the exact same swinging strike rate. Actually, no, it's even a little bit worse. It's 15.5%, which is one of the absolute worst swinging strike rates in the league. So that K rate is going to tick up and his batting average is going to tank, in my opinion. He's showing some power, but I think that Tomas, I mean, really, if you can sell him right now, I think you should, just based on his batting average and his power at this point. I try to get whatever you can out of Yasmani Tomas. I wasn't a fan coming into the season. I'm not a fan now.
All right, fair. Yeah, I wasn't a fan coming into the season either, but I haven't paid much attention to him. All I saw is that he was, you know, hitting some home runs. So, but yeah, just do what Nate says, just like you should do what Jesse says. Just listen to the other people on the podcast. That's what I say.
Okay, awesome. Well, I want to know what you have to say about Anthony Gwenstefani, who is going to debut Friday against the A's.
Well, you were pretty excited about him preseason, and actually in the off season in our Dynasty League, I traded Brad Ziegler away to get him because I thought Brad Ziegler is never going to get another save again anyway, and he's got like 15 already or whatever. That Brad Ziegler, I absolutely despise him. But, you know, since then, I traded Anthony Descofani away again, so I hope he sucks because I just traded him. But, I mean, I liked him. I liked him preseason. I don't think I liked him as much as you did, but I mean, there was some good things about his rookie season. I mean, he wasn't a strike reporting guy or anything like that. Well, it wasn't his rookie season, I guess, but his season with the Reds, his 2015. So I thought that he had some upside, a chance to be like maybe like a number four starter, and he was going later than that. So, you know, the injury just kind of drug on and on and on. So, hopefully he is now totally healthy. And if he is, I think he could be what, you know, I thought preseason, like a number four starter.
I personally thought this guy should have been on the hit it, quit it, or just sit there and do nothing with it, you know, because it's Anthony Gwenstefani.
So you want to know if we should hit that?
Yeah, if you should hit that or not.
I mean, they never did have a song called Hit That. That was Offspring.
Oh, yeah. Moving on.
You could give her just the tip.
You proved me right. Yeah, just the tip.
I do feel like we know what the name of the episode is going
to
be.
I was going to interject that earlier, but I didn't want to ruin the moment. So, or the surprise.
That's good. I'm glad you've learned one life lesson, Jesse. Don't ruin the moment. So, yeah, Gwenstefani, I liked him. You know, he had really pronounced first and second half splits last season as far as the strikeout minus walk ratio went. And I talked about that ad nauseum in the preseason. And I even listed him as a dude. And then, of course, he had that oblique strain very late in the preseason. And he hasn't freaking pitched for, you know, 2 months. So go figure, the old docking curse. But I do think that people have forgotten about him now. I think he has a chance to be very good. I think he could even be a number three starter this season. I mean, if you look at his second half ratios, I just had him here. Well, let's see. Second half ratios, 8.28 K per nine, 1.51 walks per nine. I mean, if he could keep that up over, you know, this season, and of course the ratios didn't fall. He had a really high, like a 5-something ERA, even though his FIP was 3.46. So I think you're looking at a mid-rotation guy if he can maintain the gains that he had last year. And again, it might take him a start or two to knock off the rust, but I would definitely add him outside of all of the in all leagues but the shallowest of leagues.
Fair enough.
Jolly good. All right. We have one closer calamity to get to. Is it worth rolling the drop?
Always.
Drop okay. It.
Drop it like a calamity.
Watch out for that first step. It's a doozy.
Okay, so who the shit is the Astros closer nowadays, Joe?
Oh, that's a good question. You know, I'm sure that it's, if you're asking the manager, I haven't even looked at the updates or anything like that, but I guarantee you the manager said it's a committee.
Yep.
Yeah, because that's what they say. I mean, anytime someone struggles and they're going to take him out, they're like, for now, I guess we'll just, you know, we're not going to have a guy, we'll just go committee, whoever. And then one guy gets a save and then that's it. So Will Harris got the first save apparently, so he'll probably just get 30 the rest of the way. I'm kind of frustrated with the Astros bullpen and bullpens in general because that annoys the hell out of me. Managers are such liars.
Yeah, but I mean, at least for us and for the Bucketeers out there who have listened to our words, we all know at this point what that means. It's just coach speak for whoever gets the first save is going to be our closer.
Yes, but okay, so that's a tough thing too in this situation because the first save Will Harris got the day before, he got it on the 5th, I think, when that was June 5th, he got the save. But the day before, Giles had gone 2 innings in like a 15-inning game. So I think he was probably unavailable. So, you know, that might have really been one of those situations where, you know, it was the first one, but he might have not been the guy that they wanted to go to. I don't know. Will Harris has been great. His ERA is like zero again. You know, the guy's been great the last 2 years.
yeah.
He has. I mean, he's been great. So, I mean, I can't really say that they shouldn't go to him. I mean, Ken Giles was... He's still on the season. His ERA is like 5.7 and his whip is 1.6. And I mean, that's even with being pretty good. I mean, he had a stretch of like 10 straight appearances with no runs given up. And now he's hit some more bumps in the road. I mean, he just gave up the game winning run yesterday, took the loss. So, yep. I mean, I want it to be Giles, but I don't know if you can trust him at all. I'd still add him, I guess, speculatively, but.
Yeah, no, it's it's a good bullpen to speculate on. And just last week, I believe, I anointed Giles a must handcuff. You know, he said it was one of the biggest bullpens that we're looking at as far as handcuffing in. And of course, we went with Giles, and that might not be the case. You might, if Will Harris is still out there, you got to get him at this point because I would put the odds in his favor. You know, moving forward,
You would, huh?
I would. Are you sensing a bet?
No, I don't want to.
Come on, Joe.
I can't deal with it.
You traded Ken Giles.
Yeah, exactly. I don't want anything to do with it. I mean, if they're going by production, I mean, who's been better? It's not – there's no comparison. I mean, one of them is ERA and WHIP aren't – if you add them both together, they're barely one, and Ken Giles – WHIP is 1.6, so you know there's no comparison between these two as far as who's been performing better. So, but yet I know which pitcher that I like better, and then I think has better stuff and better ability. So I can't make a bet on it because I'll be wrong either way.
Okay,
but yeah, I kind of agree with you that it that Will Harris probably will get the chance because they apparently have seen that there's some, they know that there's something going on with Ken Giles and that's why they didn't give the job in the first place.
Yeah, well, yeah, they they tweaked something in his delivery and he's been better since his initial absolutely dog shit performances. But yeah, Will Harris seems to be in the manager's favor at this point, and I don't see any reason why they wouldn't put him in a closer role in front of Ken Giles as much as he's struggled this season. Giles is younger. I don't, there's no reason to give him saves at this point. Just let him get some more experience in lower leverage situations. If he finally can prove that he can, not explode or implode or whatever you want to say, at any given moment when you get into high leverage situations, then fine. At some point you can put him back in there. But for now, I would go with, Will Harris is the odds-on favorite, in my opinion.
Yeah, the fact that the first save, when it happened, it's possible that Ken Giles was unavailable. So that muddies the waters to me.
Yeah, but if it's, it is sort of a competition at this point. And Giles, like you mentioned just last night, he gave up 2 earned runs in less than an inning. So,
well, if it's a competition, he's bound to lose it because good Lord, the guy just can't. Like you said, he's been better since this tweak or whatever. Well, he was better for a little bit, and now he's given up runs in like 3 out of his last 5 outings again.
Yeah. Well, he still is wild, and I talked about it in the preseason. But anyway, we'll move on. We're going to take a quick break and then play a little game.
Hey, this is Chris McBrien from the Dear Mr. Fantasy podcast, reminding you that the voting for the Podcast Awards is open to the public from now until June the 12th. Just visit podcastawards.com and vote for your favorite podcast in 20 different categories. And when you're there, please consider voting for Dear Mr. Fantasy in the sports category. You can vote once a day, every day between now and June the 12th. That's at podcastawards.com. Thanks, and now back to the show.
All right, we have returned to the nastiest of casts, and we're going to play a little game called Hit It, Quit It, or just, you know, kind of sit there and don't do anything with the guy.
Yeah, everyone's favorite game.
Yes. So our first guy is going to be Rob Ref Snyder, Joe, who's going to be filling in at first base while Mark Teixeira dies.
Well, it is the shock of Mark Teixeira injury is hard to get over, for one thing.
Very unexpected.
Yeah, so, I mean, talking about Rob Ref Snyder, it's kind of hard to believe that anyone would waste their time talking about a guy like this. But, you know, I mean, what are your thoughts on him, Nate? I can't find muster the excitement about him so far.
Well, as a first baseman for the New York Yankees, they're obviously in awful shape if you're playing somebody with that offensive capabilities in what should be your most prolific power, you know, position.
Yes, a guy that hit 9 home runs in AAA in like 120 games last year.
Exactly. Yeah, that's not your best case scenario. However, for our purposes, he's a guy who's likely to be eligible at second base, middle infield. I don't think he's actually. I think it just qualifies as second base. I don't think he's shortstop. But you know, look at your league settings and go from there. So basically, you're looking at these stats from a second baseman, even though he's going to be playing first base, and you pretty much. I don't know. You should probably just puke in your mouth a little bit.
Yeah. Try not. Did you say try to swallow it or try not to swallow it?
Try to swallow it just to be nice, you know, especially if you're not next to a toilet. Like, if there's nothing but carpet, you know, like somebody had no problem throwing up on the carpet at my house when we had people over at some point, which I had to clean up.
It's probably Tad.
But in any case, try not to do that. And
yeah,
don't roster Rob Ref Snyder.
Yeah, and don't puke on the carpet.
Absolutely. Yeah. Try
and swallow your own puke.
Yes.
Just to be polite.
Think about others. Be kind, rewind.
That's a good movie.
All right. Well, what about Chris Parmalee, since he used to be a Twin? Any interest in him? He might see some time at first base as well.
He was not on the rundown. This is unfair. No, I don't know. I didn't even know he was on the Yankees. I didn't hate him when he was on the Twins. I mean, he seemed, you know, he was a guy that actually could hit a home run, which is something that I'm not sure Rob Ref Snyder could do. But no, I can't say that I have a ton of interest in him.
Okay.
I mean, he was actually like a somewhat high draft pick, I believe, of the Twins, wasn't he?
Oh, number 20 overall, 2006 June amateur draft.
So, I mean, you know, clearly had some kind of, or people thought he had some kind of potential at some time, but he just never turned into anything in Minnesota. So unless that short porch, you know, he is a big lefty, maybe could have some power. I guess if I were in like an AL-only league and I'm looking for power, I'd rather add him than Ref Snyder, because I think he actually could hit some home runs.
There you go. Okay. Let's see who we got next. Oh, so I guess we're quitting the Ref Snyder then?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. What about young Hervis Solarte, Joe?
Well, I never liked him either, but, you know, he was a guy, I think, in the preseason, like, just being that I play in our Dynasty League on CBS, like, he was always, like, the number one guy available. And you know, because they love him over there, so he was always number one on the available players in, like, when we did our redraft of the players that nobody rostered or kept or whatever. But, you know, he hasn't, you know, he just basically got hurt this season. I mean, he's hitting well. He had 14 homers last year. And so, you know, a 15 homer guy in a full season, you know, there's some value there if he can hit for a good batting average. But I don't think he can be anything more than that.
Yeah, I've never been crazy about him either, but he's been one of the most effective third basemen of the season so far. 413 OBP, 586 slug. Not too shabby. So,
well, I don't know how much time he missed.
It's only 80 plate appearances.
So. Well, yeah, so he had a DL stint in there.
Yeah. Crappy Padres lineup, so I would chalk this up probably to a small sample size. Lifetime slugging, 412, 334 on base, so.
Well, if you're looking at it, everything has improved this year. He's walking almost twice as much as he did the previous year, so, his batting average being so high, there's some BABIP there. It's 358 BABIP, so maybe a little bit fortunate. But, it's nice to see the walk rate up that high. I mean, that's definitely a positive sign. By far the highest walk rate of his career in any of his stops, even minor league stops.
Yeah, looking at his plate discipline numbers, there's really nothing that's changed. Pretty much at all. So I would expect those numbers to normalize as the season wears on. And even his batted ball profile is pretty much identical at this point. So I see no reason to expect anything more than what we've seen, from the last couple of years, which is to say a guy who could hit, 12 to 15 home runs over a full season.
Yeah, so as opposed to the previous one where we're just like saying he sucks, I would say probably with him you can just sit there and kind of not do anything with the guy. As in, don't drop him if you have him. He'll be fine.
Yeah, I'm on board with that call. What about good old Whit Merrifield, who is second base and outfield eligible for the Kansas City Royals with cheese?
Yeah, this guy is nothing. He's a nobody. He's a loser.
Oh, Joseph Donald Trump shows up.
Yeah, he's a loser. He's just taking a job away from an American. He's clearly not American with a name like Whit Merrifield. He's British.
Right, he's got to be. I say.
I say, dear Trump.
Or however you do that. Where's my
money? Yes. Where's my mustache comb? I need to have a trim.
But yeah, I don't know. He's just hot. He came up and he's hitting everything. He's getting lucky. 420 BABIP, small sample size, everything. I don't believe it at all.
Okay. I'm kind of on board with him for some reason. Maybe it's just the wacky, like, whimsical sort of name. Or maybe it's the stolen base potential. Let's see. Last year, 32 bases at AAA in 2015 that he stole, so that's not bad. For a guy at second base, if you're struggling there, for an injury replacement, I would say that I would hit Whit Merrifield. I think perhaps he's not a long-term solution, but in the short term, he could be decent before his first time through the league. Maybe his pitchers don't know how to throw him. And he could have a hot first time through the league, a pretty good month or month and a half, something like that.
Yeah, sure, that's fine, I guess. And he might steal some bases. I would just say that I don't think the playing time is going to last.
Chesler Cuthbert out there.
That's true. You can't stop Chesler. You can only hope to contain him.
Yes. Oh my God! But is he as good as Xander Bogaerts?
I'm going to go with yes.
Oh, hot takes here on the Nasty Cast tonight. All right, so you're quitting the Whit.
Well, yeah, I quite frankly wasn't expecting you to be excited about him, but I don't know. I could see him.
Go ahead.
I could see him doing what you said, just, having a hot stretch and, being relevant, just, one of those things where I'm trying to think of another guy who's done something similar to that, where everyone keeps saying it doesn't make any sense and, this and that, and he just keeps it up like,
Well, Aledmys Diaz, excuse me.
Sure, that would be
one. He had, the hottest April of all time. So.
Well, then, or Brock Holt, let's say, just a guy that's not really good, but somehow he just keeps getting hit every day. I could see him being a Brock Holt type of player.
Well, that's a pretty apt comparison as well, given his multi-position flexibility, because I think they can pretty much play him all over the diamond as well.
Yeah, he's one of those, like, yeah, he's all about grit. You know, he's probably his uniform is as dirty as anybody at the end of the game. And if you get well, they should get points for that.
They call him Whit and Grit. That's his nickname.
Exactly. That is absolutely what he's all about, except for the British thing. And then he always goes to the dugout and has tea.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a weird thing to do.
Yeah, contradictory, but what are you going to do?
Yeah, he's got a whole stack of tea bags in the corner, like by the batting helmets.
Yeah, obviously.
Yeah, he's got a whole little cubby built out full of tea bags. That's he's lucky that's not his nickname.
Yeah, that's a bad nickname, Teabag.
We tried to nickname a guy at work that.
Yeah, we did. It didn't really stick. It would have been great if it had.
He didn't care for it.
No, he didn't like it at all.
I can't imagine why. Okay, let's go to Philadelphia and see what you think about the Tommy Joe. Oh, sorry, real quick. Back on the Whitmer. I did actually roster him as an injury replacement in the podcast league, which is a 14-team league. So that's basically what I feel like about him.
Yeah, I mean, like, I guess I didn't realize, I hadn't looked that closely into his minor league numbers just because he seemed like, you know, a career minor leaguer to me when he came up. You know, a 27-year-old that's been in AAA for like 3 years, that seems like a career life. But he did it, you know, so he does have some stolen base upside, so.
Yeah.
Because he'd already stolen 16 bases this year in the minors.
Yeah, so he's got some wheels. And I mean, you know, like we talked about with Trey Turner last year or last week.
I think it was last week.
Yeah, I think so too. Stolen bases are down. So if you can find them, I mean, yeah, go and grab Whit Merrifield and in deeper leagues.
Right. Yeah, go ahead and get him and have a ball. Have yourself a cup of tea. What's the problem with it?
And some grits.
Yep, slide into second and get your pants all dirty. That's what Whit would do.
That's what we would do. All right, so back to Philadelphia. We got Tommy Joseph out there. He's taking all the playing time away from superstar Ryan Howard. Do you like Tommy Joseph at all?
Well, he seems to be hitting home runs, so that's a good thing. I guess, you know, he's doing his best Ryan Howard impression where he's striking out 25% of the time and walking 1% of the time. So he's trying to, you know, strike out all the time, kind of like Ryan Howard does, but he's actually hitting a few home runs. I mean, it's hard to believe in the guy because he's really, even in the, his minor league stats are absolutely, I can't understand them. You know, he had a 22 homer season back in 2011 in the minors. He hasn't done anything really since then. You know, in 2014 and 2015, he really did nothing. I mean, I guess it's just all injuries.
He just hasn't played. Yeah.
So I mean, it's hard to trust a guy that really hasn't produced since 2011, and even that was in A-ball.
Yeah. He's only 24, so despite missing all that time, he's still relatively young. Like you said, with the power, that's what you're looking for. Yeah, one walk so far and 64 plate appearances. That is disconcerting.
And, yeah.
So if you're not getting on base, you're not going to score any runs. Not going to drive a whole lot of guys in. Pretty ugly swing strike rate so far, 13.3%. So I would be pretty tepid on Tommy Joseph. He's probably even a step below guys like, Ryan Howard. Who are the sluggers like that were on this year? What's that guy? I can't think of his damn name. In St. Louis. It's on the tip of my tongue.
Matt Adams.
No, not even him. Moss, your boy, your old
Brandon
boy.
Moss.
Brandon Moss. That's all he does. He does nothing but strike out and hit a home run once every, you know, how many, 20 at bats.
He had like eight or nine the last time I looked at the guy. I don't know. Yeah, he barely ever plays, so.
Yeah, I mean, that's all he's good for, so.
Yeah.
So I am quitting the Tommy Joseph.
Yeah, I guess it's anybody that's going to replace Ryan Howard, I like that about him because Ryan Howard just sucks. He should have been replaced so long ago, so I'm glad somebody's finally doing it.
Yeah, well, that's on the Phillies for giving him that mega contract and then having to, like, basically forcing themselves to justify that contract by giving him playing time.
Yeah, well, I mean, he was good at one time. It's just he's so bad now, so.
That's why you don't do these mega contracts. I'm sure the Angels would love to have that Pujols deal back already.
Yeah, that was.
I mean, even though he did hit 40 home runs last year, but he's
basically tying up, I don't even know, whatever portion of their salary. They can't afford anybody else at this point.
Well, he's never...
And he's hitting,
he's
what, 230?
He's never been Albert Pujols in all capital letters for them. You know, his last great season was basically in St. Louis. He's never really had a great season for them, and they've been paying him like, you know, an MVP for all these years, and they're going to keep doing it. The only one of those big, huge contracts I can think of that's really worked out is Joe Mauer, because that guy is...
Yes. Oh, my God. They'll get on that. All right, our last guy is Mike Fiers, Joe. What do you think about Mike Fiers?
I'm a little bit confused as to why he's on here. I'm wondering if he had done something good that I wasn't aware of. So then I looked up at his game log, and no, he really hasn't done anything good that I wasn't aware of. So, nope. I mean, yeah, so I don't know. Why are we talking about him? No, I don't like him. Do you?
Well, because I put him on this list because I wanted to find somebody who was basically rostered in almost all leagues, I would say, outside of, you know, 10-team leagues. He's probably drafted in all leagues. So, you know, he's obviously sucked basically this season. So this is more of a guy where it's like, do you see any sort
of any
production? Is there any reason to hit him, or should you just dump him off your roster?
I didn't really... buy it, you know, what, like, well, 2014, look way back there. He had that crazy stretch where he was, you know, his whip was under one. He was striking out a batter per inning. He just looked great. He looked like he was.
Oh, he was a total ace, like, towards the end of the season.
Yes. And then the next season, he didn't really, it didn't feel like he came through and was great, but yet he still had struck out a batter per inning. You know, his ERA was 3.7, his whip was 1.25. He really was still great, and there really doesn't appear to be any of that left anymore. I mean, the strikeouts are way down, and, you know, the ERA and whip have ballooned. So I just don't think that he was always a deception guy. I don't think he ever was that good. So I don't really believe in him. The best thing he was, the only thing he was really ever elite at was puns with his name.
Yeah, great.
With the roof being on fire and all that stuff. No.
The ploof is on fires.
Yeah, I believe that was overused, but still.
Yeah, that's how it goes. Yeah, he's, if I'm not mistaken, one of the big rising fastball guys, and like you said, with the deception and everything, and his pop-up rate is down a fair bit this year compared to years past, so he's not getting the easy outs there, and that's part of the reason you see his BABIP up at 316, whereas in prior years, let's see, they get 224 in 2014.
That was during that magical Brewers year.
Yeah, the half season or third season, whatever you want to call it, and then, yeah, last year, 283 as well. Pretty depressed. So you're seeing him not only decline, but sort of all his metaphorical chickens come home to roost, if you will.
I remember when all my medical chickens. Yeah, that's what they
you were really depressed for a while there. So they assigned you medical chickens.
Yeah, which will cheer a guy up. I mean, it's good to have medical chickens around.
You know, I think I might like that as an episode title even more.
I was just thinking that exact same thing. Medical chickens.
Medicinal chickens.
Well, I mean, that works too.
But this is one of those things that, you know, the listeners and the viewers, they wouldn't know this, but Jesse always does this. We have like a line or a title that we think is funny, and then he always wants to change it just a little bit. Like medical chickens was perfect.
Because it's always got to be what Jesse wants.
Yeah, you always have to get what you want.
But what I do is usually funnier.
No, it's not. Medical chickens is funnier than medicinal chickens.
I'm totally watching the Twins game, so I just knew that you guys were talking about the thing, so I had to chime in. So I have no idea why the medical chickens came up, so I apologize. It's probably not going to be the title.
Unless to be honest with you, I have no idea why medical chickens came up either.
We'll never know. It's not like this is recorded or anything, and we can go back and listen to it.
The last thing that I would say that it's going to be hard to go back to baseball at this point after the whole chicken thing, but you know he is getting unlucky. If you look at his FIP and xFIP and his ERAs is higher than that, but it's one of those things where he's about a half a run lower on his FIP, but his FIP is even 4.49. So even if he does correct and get a little bit closer to that, it's still not good.
Yeah, no. I see no reason. Like, I own Mike Fiers in a 16-team Dynasty Points League where, like, pitching is absolutely paramount. There's absolutely no starters available. Even, like, the Colin Rays and the Adam Morgans of the world, the second they get called up, they're snatched up and somebody's starting them. There's literally no starters out there. That is the only kind of league that I would roster Mike Fiers in.
Yeah, I don't – now that he's not – getting you the strikeouts anymore, you know, for what I'm going to chalk it up to that he didn't really ever have that great of stuff, and he was kind of relying on deception. Now that that's maybe gone away, then you know, I think it's now that then I think his success is going to go away.
I think that's a pretty good point.
And eventually, he'll go away himself and go to the minor leagues,
or perhaps Japan.
Maybe he'll get on a minor league team called like the. I don't know, the Tuscaloosa Medical Chickens. That'd be great. They should have that team.
It's got to be a thing now.
I think so.
All right, we're done here. That's no BS this week. Go ahead and, you know, follow us on Twitter and all that kind of shit. Anything else to talk about before we get out of here?
No. It's pretty late.
Nate, you might as well spend the last 20 seconds plugging yourself here.
Yeah, go out and follow Nate Dockin on Fantastics or something like
that. Nathan Dockin on Twitter, and listen every Sunday at 11 Eastern or something.
On that is Sirius correct. FM.
XM. Yes. Sirius XM. I mean, so here, we're plugging you now. But really, just listen to him and just make fun of him, because that's what it's about.
Just plug me with the tip, please.
Yes. Just the tip.
Exactly.
Okay. Till next week, folks. May the fantasy gods shine upon you.
You know, I really expect...